This is Butchertown Rundown, a Racing Louisville podcast brought to you by the Beautiful Game Network.
Welcome to the Butchertown Rundown, a podcast about the only top-tier professional team in the state of Kentucky, Racing Louisville Football Club. Becky, we haven't been doing this long, but every time we've had an episode, I always ask you, how are you doing? But I'm not going to ask you how you're doing, because we are less than 12 hours from an utter destruction at the hands of the North Carolina Courage. And it is not feeling happy in Racing Town today.
No, it certainly is not. And I mean, the Courage were do a win. I mean, I'll be completely honest, not necessarily against us, but they have been playing subpar to the way we know they can play in the beginning of the season, but we should have been way more competitive than we were. And so there are definitely concerns to be raised about that, and we will certainly raise them.
We will certainly raise them. And this is not a mourning. This is not the end of the season, but I've got a good friend of mine who is a therapist, and he says that when you are in feeling bad, you're feeling in rough shape, it's important to stick to a routine if you can. And our routine on this podcast is to start every show with the starting line. What has been going on with this team?
Well, I mean, the one thing that I feel like kind of started rocking everything, I don't know if it's related to, you know, how the team's playing or not, but is that while visiting KC, an untethered practice goal blew onto Jordan Bloomer and hurt her leg. And I would also like to point out, I know a lot of people, not necessarily racing fans, have been saying things like, oh, well, that's on the coaches. The coaches should have been aware of that. You never play in an untethered goal. Well, they were literally doing the walkthrough from what's been reported to check the pitch. So that was kind of what they were trying to do when it happened. And I'm happy to say that at least when I've seen her, you know, Bloomer is wearing a boot, but she was taking it off at practice on Friday and walking around pretty normally. So they were very afraid that she may have had a break or two, like a broken foot. And luckily, that does not seem to be the case. So she might be back as early as a couple of weeks.
That's excellent. And yeah, I'm with you. Talking about you shouldn't be on that field, that feels very victim blamey to me.
Yeah, don't use that field. It was the field that was literally given to us to practice on. Like, where did you want us to go?
Yeah, so let's keep it real, people. I know that we all like to talk Kansas City ownership. They seem like they're doing the right things, but they made a mistake here. If an opposing player has an injury on a racing field that we provide to them, we will be critical of our team as well. But so that we're not all doom and gloom, we saw two great returns recently. One return was from in the Lavender Legion supporter section. It was so good to see Golosaurus Rex back last night.
I love Golosaurus Rex, but Golosaurus Rex was back for a reason.
Because Dr. Nadia Nadim, took the pitch again, and I don't want to get too dramatic, Becky, but with all the things that have been happening in the world, in this country, it filled my heart up to see Dr. Nadim back on the pitch again. My wife and daughter said, "Dad, you can't cry when she comes out," and I only promised that I would not ugly cry, which I did not do, so I feel as though I kept that promise, and it was great. She's going to take some time back, but it was just good to see her running on the pitch again.
It was good to see her on the pitch. I really loved the moment when the Lavender Legion, when Brandon got the, you know, the banner that we have that says the doctor is, and it's been saying out, and then he flipped it to say in the middle of the game. I mean, that was, you know, things aren't great. This is not going to be the happiest episode we ever recorded, but those little moments are bright and are nice to see. I mean, I also think that, you know, not to just take it back down a notch, but we need to, as you say, prepare ourselves for the fact that it's going to take a while for her to get match fit.
Yeah.
You know, she probably isn't going to be fully back into the lineup for another month or two. And part of that is because the Euros. There's almost no doubt in my mind that she is going to the Euros, which start on July 6th. So we are probably going to lose her pretty soon and not see her for a while.
Well, it's good to see her. I'm not surprised. You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again, that Nadia Nadim proves the theory of evolution, because she's just better than most people walking the planet. So if anybody can get back fast, it's her. It is great to see her. Before we get to our Prime Cups, before we talk to about the games and some other stuff, a quick commercial break about a project or another podcast that you've been.
Yeah, I think that a lot of fans are probably aware of it, but I really, really cannot emphasize enough that everybody who is a fan of Racing Louisville or even a fan of women's soccer should listen to the 10-part iHeartRadio Charlotte Observer joint podcast by Alex Andreev called The Payback, and it's actually the second season of The Payback, and this 10-episode series follows Jessica McDonald, and she is more candid about her background, the struggles and adversity that she faced growing up, including, you know, neglect and abuse, and how she's managed to triumph past that, and her relationship with her son. It's all done remarkably well, really beautifully, really sensitively, and it really gives you insight into this really incredible person that we do have on our team. And there's so little great reporting on women's soccer, yeah. You know, deep dives and things like that. And so we really need to support things like this when they're made. It was all recorded mostly before, you know, she signed with Racing Louisville. It's only at the very end that, you know, there's a little wrap up and she talks about like how her son is doing here and things like that. But it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, she hasn't been here very long. So it's all about the history of where she came from, the six teams she played with prior to us, and then the battle for the United States women's national team to win their equal pay lawsuit. So give it a listen if you're driving to and from work and you have about 45 minutes. Seriously, it is wonderful. It exceeded my expectations and I can't recommend it enough. And it's available on Apple, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are found. Just Google The Payback and it will be one of the first things that come up.
Excellent. Well, I am a podcast binger. I am not patient at all. So I have actually been waiting for the entire series to conclude so that I can watch it or listen to it beginning to end. So I am looking forward to listening to that and learning about the superstar that is calling racing home right now. So.
Yeah, that sums it up, Tom. We can end the podcast right there.
I know. But I, you know what? This can be a good catharsis. This can be cathartic for us. Let's talk about Kansas City. That game was a lot more frustrating than it had any business being. And I think, you know, in all likelihood, we will talk about Rebecca Holloway a little bit more, you know, throughout this show. She gave up the penalty early. It was a penalty in the box. It was a good call. Kansas City scored the penalty. We were one down approximately 7 seconds into the match and chased the rest of the way. And we looked off. Dr. Nadim said that we had been sabotaged by Kansas City. I don't know that I would go with their poor practice fields. I don't know that I would go that far. I would say that the team looked off, that and as much as we as fans can look at that penalty, at, like I said, at the 7th second of the game, I look at two big missed opportunities. Jess McDonald had a wide open goal, dragged a foot, didn't get a shot off. Freya had a wide open goal, couldn't get the header into the net. Those are two chances that, I mean, in this league, if you get chances like that, you need to have them. And we didn't get those. So I think the team played well. We just had those big mistakes that really doomed that result.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And just going back to what you started with, I have all the respect in the world for Nadia. I'm a huge fan of her, but I don't think that there's any way I can support saying that this was intentional sabotage.
Yeah, I agree. I say that kind of tongue in cheek.
Yeah. Oh no, I know yeah. You were joking. I mean, I know your banter, but at the same time, like I do feel like I have to say that I don't think that this was anywhere intentional. Was it negligent on their part? or on the part of the groundskeepers of the field that they hired for us, in which case they would still have liability, in my opinion. I mean, you're the insurance guy, Tom. You would have to answer that. But I do think it definitely threw us. We couldn't practice. The fact that we didn't get those moments together and were probably rattled by it happening definitely hurt us, but I don't think it wasn't intentional. It was a bad thing all around. And I do hope that it continues to be investigated. I hope the Players Association looks into it. Read Jeff Kasuf's Equalizer article about it, because there's a little more information about how there's a little, not great things happening around it. But we'll have to be patient until we hear stuff from that. Mm-hmm. So I can forgive the team for being off for this game. And I can forgive Rebecca Holloway for being rattled, not having played in the league before and not being used to the speed of play and the adjustment and everything like that. But then that also makes me ask, like, why did we start her? Why did we not start with, like, Neely Martin and then put her in once she's had eyes on a game from the field level and been able to jump in later? Like, what caused her to earn that immediate start over our other players who have performed well? That is my big question. And that's no insult to her. It's just isn't that how things usually work? You earn your start. Even Nadia said in her interview when it was announced she was coming off the injury list, I have no expectation I'm going to start. I need to work my way back into being a starter. So why are our players just being handed starts at the bat? And that's a big question that I personally have.
It's a great question to have. And I think that we've seen it before too. And just on this team, Gemma comes right over last season, starts playing with us, misplays some balls. Oh, wow. I found that the speed here is a little bit different. Lester, this season, early on, the second game was she had with us. They put some unexpected pressure on her. She played a bad ball. So we've seen this before. When players come over, if they don't get a chance to acclimate in, no matter how good they are, you run a risk of one of those mistakes, and you don't get many mistakes in this league.
No, I agree. But I mean, even Lester was given, or was, they were trying to give her a bit more of a buffer. She only came in initially in her first game because Fox was injured.
That's right. That's good. You're exactly right.
So she actually did come in a little earlier. I think they were probably going to sub her in anyway. I don't think there's any chance she wasn't going to get minutes in that game. But I mean, that's what you would expect to see. Now, Gemma, and I would even argue Alex Chidiak, are players that have enough bona fides that they can come into the starting 11. I mean, with the history Gemma has and the history that Alex Chidiak has, even though she's very young, getting called into national team camps and things like that. The fact that she was just on the championship team with the Melbourne Victory. And I mean, you could even say the same thing with Lester to a certain extent, because she was the captain and of the champion team of the Cypriot League. But even so, there needs to be some kind of adjustment period. And I feel like I can't say that threw off the balance of the team, but the team was very off balance and not connecting. It had felt like we were building towards something. It had felt like we were getting, even when we were making mistakes and even, drawing games, that we were clearly doing better each match and playing consistently for longer periods of time. And then it's like someone's taken a hammer to glass, to me, in my opinion, because what the identity that we had been building, it seems like we've completely lost it. And everything just seems like it's been pushed off kilter.
Something has happened, although, and one thing that I want to take this opportunity to do is talk about the commentary on that Kansas City match, because there are a lot of things I love about the NWSL. The stories we get, some of the chaos we get, the number of teams, the athletes. I think that we as NWSL fans are getting a lot better experience than fans of teams in more established leagues. I think one thing that we don't get is good television broadcasts. And if you watched that game, and this is why I want to get back to you, to what you were saying. If you watched that game and you listened to those commentators, you would have thought that we were getting the crap kicked out of us that whole game. And we weren't. Kansas City got that early goal and we played
off a penalty.
And we chased the game from here on out. Now, Rebecca, I did not play professional soccer, but what I've observed is that when you go down early, the other team, they can sit back and defend a little bit more. They can take their chances a little bit more. Those commentators, they did not to listen to them, you would have thought that Kansas City dominated that game from start to finish, and they didn't. And the stats don't bear that out. Did they win? Yes. We had 60% possession. We had as many shots on goal as they did. We had more shots on target than they did. We didn't get our chances. They did. But if you watched that game, you saw, and what I thought saw, was that Racing, we were in it. We missed our chances, but the team we watched last night was totally different from that team against Kansas City.
Yeah, and that's true.
And I think that when we look at this last week, this disastrous week, I want to remember that we played well against Kansas City. We lost that game, but you hate to say woulda, shoulda, we had our chances. We didn't execute on those chances, but it's not like we were run out of the pitch like we were last night against North Carolina. Now, if you were listening to the commentators, you would think that was, but they were too busy telling us things like the Patrick Mahomes family is having another kid, and that Kansas City is a city that is in both Kansas and Missouri. I loved that. You know, personally, Becky, when I listen to commentators, I like to learn stuff about the game. And I wish we could get Casey Whitfield, get Anna Beffer, get some of these other commentators where you actually learn the game instead of just people that roll out of bed. The league deserves better. These players deserve better than what we got. And I think that commentary, that frame, taints what we think about that game.
I think that's actually a really good point. Yes, I definitely think that we need to stop and say that, like, yeah, the team against Kansas City was flat. They didn't have their normal chemistry. They weren't connecting as well as they have in the past, mm-hmm. in terms of, like, their one-touch passes and stuff, where they, like, brutalized Gotham with them. And then, you know, Casey was breaking them up constantly. But in the first half of the Kansas City game, we created big chances. We had more chances than Kansas City did. We came very close, and sometimes crap just happens.
Yeah.
You know? And obviously crap did happen before the game, and they didn't get to practice and all sorts of things. I mean, again, I think that this loss is much more excusable. It's a little less excusable to me in the second half of the game, when Kansas City just bunkered and we could not get the ball forward to save our lives.
Yeah.
Like, we could not adjust tactically to their high press. And that raised a bit of a red flag for me, because, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it was a really hot day. They were tired. Like we said, they were rattled. Okay. It's one not great game. That's fine. Now, like I said in my write-up, like I've said to a lot of people I've talked to, it can be a fluke game. You know, like Coach Kim said, you can take one step back if you take two steps forward. Well, the problem is, and what has me concerned, is we did not take two steps forward. We didn't even take a half step forward. We took another big step back. And
I would say we took a half step back, and that step was at the top of a flight of stairs, and then we fell down those stairs. And when we got to when we hit the bottom of the stairs, we crashed through a table. That game last night, we are a brand new team. Our experiences are, you know, we're in the middle of season two, but as a fan, I don't know that I have ever felt lower than I do now. I don't feel worse than I did. I've never left the stadium feeling worse than I did last night. That was an utter massacre.
And let me just put something a little bit into perspective, though. I don't think this is the total answer, but I do feel like it needs to be said. It's a lot harder to take losses when you become used to not losing.
Yeah.
And we were on a 4-game winning streak, so we know that this team can do well, and we expect them to do well, and therefore it's a lot darker and feels a lot worse when we don't. And there are reasons for that, and I mean, I do think that we should be concerned. I'm not trying to say, like, oh, it's really fine, guys.
Yeah.
That's not at all what I'm saying. But I am saying that I do think that maybe it feels particularly worse because of that. I mean, I haven't even looked at the stats for this game yet because I got home so late. But, I mean, there were games last season where we were getting, like, they were getting 29 shots and, like, 20 on goal. And we would get, like, one on goal and, like, 7 shots total. So, like, mm-hmm. I don't think this is the worst we ever played, but it is absolutely the worst we've ever played this season. And we know we can play so much better.
Yeah.
Where last season it was just kind of like, I hope we're competitive. We're babies. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not babies anymore. We're a team that can win. And we could not hold it together. I mean, I think the thing that was the worst about the North Carolina game to me is just how discordant the players feel on the field. And I know we try and make this a fun podcast and we try and keep it positive, but I mean, I'm probably going to be the most critical I've ever been of the team in this podcast, honestly. There seemed to be, I don't know, just complete discord. Emily Fox seemed off. For the first time I've ever really seen her play since she's been a professional, she seems like she's lost some of her confidence. Now, she had some really good plays. I do think she played better against North Carolina than she did against Kansas City. Mm-hmm. She got in there to head away balls, to block balls, to cut people off. I mean, she made some mistakes, whatever. She's human. But she did not do horribly, in my opinion. I mean, I don't think she's ever done horribly. Let's say she's played like a normal player. She just wasn't super
showed that she is a mortal human on this planet.
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely don't want to blame Fox for anything that happened either. But, I mean, the players, to my eyes, looked actively frustrated. There was huffing and eye rolling and some tense conversations in the box when they were waiting for North Carolina to take corner kicks with gesturing. I mean, there just seemed to be discord. And I really do not like to see that, because that just, I don't know, that raises, I wouldn't say it raises a red flag, but it definitely raises concerns to me.
I don't think that red flag is too tough a term. The body language from the players on the field has consistently been good throughout the history of the franchise, which isn't admittedly very, very long. But even when things were going bad, they would get quiet. They wouldn't get despondent. You never saw players take a pass that didn't work and then lift their arms up like that statue of Jesus in Rio. But last night, something wasn't working. There was, I think discord's the right word. And the style that we play relies on teamwork. And, I say it every show, and because I believe it. Like, this is the greatest league in the world, and you do not. If you show weakness, the other team will pounce on you. The other team will come to try and take your heart, and that's what happened last night. North Carolina came in; they were a little hungry. We were a little discordant, and we go down 3-0. We lose 3-0.
And arguably it should have been 3-1. Maybe it only would have been 2-1 if we had gotten that goal, because, I mean, I do think that it's been proven pretty definitively, and apparently they even said it in the broadcast bluntly, which kind of surprises me, that J-Mac was definitely on. And then Michael Shaw, you know, he tweeted out a screenshot that shows that she was onside, and so her goal should have stood. Would that have changed things in the last 35 minutes? I don't know, but at least we wouldn't have been shut out. At least it wouldn't have been any, like, you know.
Hell yeah, that would have made a difference. Absolutely, yeah. It would have made a difference. You've got 30 minutes left to get an equalizer. You get the stadium rocking, and you get the team feeling good about themselves. And I think that there was something to be said that when Holloway was subbed off and they dropped Lomele back, the team started working a little bit better. The offensive possessions were a little crisper. The passings was a little better. Now, is that because North Carolina was sitting on a 2-goal lead and was happy to sit back and defend? Maybe, but absolutely, we would have. It would have looked better, and the team would have been better with a, you know, down one goal instead of two over the end of the game.
But I still don't think that. I mean, in some games, you're like, oh, the refs messed up, and that killed our mood, and that affected us, and we lost the game. I still don't think that was the case. Yeah. I still think that we were discordant, and maybe that one goal would have given us a little bit.
That's a good point.
Of a boost, and it would have helped, and we may have even equalized, but it still doesn't take away the fact that, in my opinion, the players, they didn't have good energy on the field. I mean, I'll just be blunt. They did not look happy, and I don't like not seeing our players look happy. And of course, when you like lose, go down a goal immediately, you're not going to be overjoyed. But like, there was active frustration. And so going back to what you started with, yes, last season something bad would happen and we would just be meek and we'd fall away, and then it would just be like, oh no, racing just disappeared. They just like shrunk down into the field. I like the fact that players are frustrated. It shows that they care and that they're getting angry, but I don't like it happening this way. And I don't like the fact that we've had such a dramatic fall off. I mean, of course we were going to go back to earth. We had two draws, we had two wins, we were on the up and up. That's not going to be stabilized. It's not just going to be this perfect ascension into heaven for the rest of the season. You know, in some ways, maybe this is a good eye-opener, not just for the players, but for the coach to be like, wow, I do need to look at my tactics and my starting 11, because I'm sorry, but the buildup from the back, I don't know if I've said this on the pod, but I've definitely told you this privately, mm-hmm. and I've told a lot of people that we know that we've talked about. Building up from the back does not work well in the NWSL, and it never has, because once teams figure out how you do, they're just going to high-press the hell out of you, and you're not going to get past midfield. What has happened to us in the last two games?
Let's you know, I don't know that we have anything more to say about, you know, those two games specifically. Now on Twitter, we had some good suggestions. People thought that maybe we should just scream or have fart noises. Maybe we'll put those in. Extra cut. Fart noises. But I think that this is a great time to talk about Coach Kim. We have seen him through the Challenge Cup. We've seen the first few games, his tactics. You've seen him in practice. And I want to challenge you, because I've got a question for you. You have said often, you're right, to me and to others, if not on this show, what you just said, which is that the playing out from the back does not work in the NWSL. And I want to challenge you. Why does it not work in this league when it works in every other league, men and women, every other league on the planet?
Because the style of American play is so single-mindedly consistent. Okay, so like, I will say, I do think that you can build out of the back eventually in the NWSL, and I do think that you should try, and that if you have the right players, it probably can work. But we have a roster that Coach Kim didn't make, that are not necessarily like maybe trained or the best players to build out of that style. But the bottom line, the main reason it doesn't work is for exactly the reason that you've seen in these last two games and in some other games we played, like when we had that disastrous collapse against Houston. And it's the fact that in the US, it's just a much more physical and athletic game. You're going to have players run at you and knock you over, so you're not going to be able to make the careful technical passes. In European women's soccer, in my, I admit, fairly limited experience, it's much more tactical. It's like once you gain possession, people kind of fall back and you work your way to break down the other team. That does not happen. Here, whoever has the ball, everybody else just like runs at you and does everything they can to like not get a foul, but basically take you out, take the ball, and counter as hard as you possibly can. So I just don't think that with the relentless athleticism and not like, lack of care for technical ability. I mean, obviously there's a lot of technical ability and then it can be used, but that's not the guiding star of American women's soccer. It's athleticism, it's physicality, and it's brute strength to score goals, to break through and score goals, and to outrun people and to push people off the ball. And so it's really hard to build out of the back when you have the whole field of opponents running at you and you're trying to string these little one-touch passes through traffic of like three or four white shirts. It just doesn't work.
I hate to look at one single player because soccer is a team game, you know, but I don't think that you can look at Rebecca Holloway and say that right now she is acclimated to the NWSL. And if we, as bad as we feel right now, of the last four goals this team has given up, one was the penalty that she had against Kansas City. One was on her post on the corner last night. And then the one at the 46th minute was a cross that came from her side of the field that was ended up headed in. And, you know, I don't know that, you know, she may be a fabulous player, but right now her form isn't there. And I think that we saw exactly what North Carolina watched the same Kansas City game that we did. And their strategy was attack the non-Fox side of the field. And when we talk about playing out of the back, well, you need four players across that back line who are all in sync, that know what they're doing, that have a little bit of chemistry together. And I don't know that we've got that right now.
No, I don't know that we've got that either. And I mean, I'm just going to go out and say it. One thing that really bothers me is the fact that both Aaron Simon and Addison Merrick have not dressed for the last two games. Maybe Simon did in the last game. I don't think so. I don't think either of them traveled to Kansas City, and then they were both not dressed for this game. They came on the pitch and did exceedingly well against San Diego. Mm-hmm. And then, admittedly, they were not on the pitch against Gotham, and we still got the win. So mm-hmm. I'm not saying, like, they were the sole reason for our win. But, I mean, my God, they've proven themselves.
Yeah.
They did well. Aaron Simon had an excellent save that kept us from going down early against San Diego. And so why have they not at least earned the chance to be preliminary starters, or at least the first line of bench player to come on, you know, the first subs? And that really bothers me. And I mean, I'm not gonna go into that or like start any rumors or scandals, because I mean, I don't know anything. I don't think that's a good message to send your players. And clearly the players are not feeling that great, and something's bothering them. And I can't see how it's not partly to do with how the lineup is being structured. I mean, bluntly.
If you want to keep the locker room happy, you need happy players. And you keep players happy with M&M, money and or minutes. Either folks are getting a good paycheck and they know their role, or they're getting the opportunity to go out and play. And I think you look at players like Addie Merrick, who's feeling healthy again, who had a rough go in the Challenge Cup and then picked her game up exponentially following that. Aaron Simon was last year, had her ups and downs, but played very well in her time on the team this year, and they want minutes. I mean, I think there were rumors going around with Aaron Simon's family saying something about her looking for a trade, which I don't say.
Her BBC reported.
Oh, yeah, which, you know, I'm not surprised at it at all. I mean, she wants to play. And players that are unhappy, then it is on the coach and the captains to get them happy.
Yeah, and I would never say that every player deserves minutes and that we should be like, I don't know, junior high school soccer, where everybody gets a chance to be subbed in and play, but they've proven themselves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, they've shown that they can help us win games. So there should be rotation that allows them to get minutes. And then depending on how people play, consistent lineups should be built around that. So the fact that it was just immediately taken and discarded, and then now they're not even dressing, bothers me.
That is,
and
concerning.
I mean, the not even dressing part is what bothers me the most. It'd be one thing if they're still on the bench and you could argue, oh, well, this is what we're doing for whatever reason. But, you know, no, that bothers me. That doesn't seem, I don't know, that's another red flag that has come up for me, to be perfectly blunt. The other thing, too, is just that our club is very, very, very focused on only playing the aggressive high press style. It's what Lou City does. It makes them famous. We're just going to be aggressive, and we're just going to be attack. And they expect Racing to do the same thing. But we don't have players on our roster that all are the best pressing players. And so, I mean, you have to play who you have. We have talented players. So, I mean, maybe we need to adjust tactically occasionally and try different styles instead of being so rigid and being a high-pressing team that builds out of the back. Because everybody can read us. Everybody can watch the videos of what happened with North Carolina and Kansas City and know exactly what we're going to do and plan for it. Where, I mean, Coach Kim in the press conference before this game was like, oh, well, North Carolina's changed a lot of their lineups and a lot of their rosters, so it's very hard to know what they were doing. And guess what? We sure as hell didn't know what they were doing. We sure as hell didn't play well against them. And so, I mean, I think that this rigidity is hurting us. I think it worked initially because we were building towards an identity and we were building towards a style. And then once that style got broken, I don't think we know what to do. I mean, I kind of joked in the last podcast. I said that I'm afraid that we're going to get in our heads, we can beat anyone, and then we're going to lose. Now we're going to be like, oh my God, anybody can beat us. But I mean, certainly seemed to have happened.
Well, nothing's, I mean, but that acknowledgement, nothing has changed. You know, I think that Coach Kim has his work cut out for him. I mean, I think that we do not seem to have a plan B. Teams know how to attack us. Spoiler alert. When we play Angel City next Saturday, they're going to attack from the minute one. They're going to try to get a goal in the first 5 minutes, and they're going to attack the side that Emily Fox is not on, because that works really well against us. Well, how are we going to defend that? And I don't think that we have a plan B. Now, some of it reminds me of...
Can I just interrupt you really quickly?
Yeah.
Just because I want to point something out. Again, I mean, I don't want this to be the beat up on Rebecca Holloway podcast, but she's a left-footed left back, so she will only ever play as left back. One thing that has helped us a lot in the past is the fact that Emily Fox and Neely Martin can play both sides. So they can flip-flop. Mm-hmm. So if whoever is at whatever side they're attacking down, whoop, suddenly Fox is there. Yeah. And then if they switch sides again, like Lynn Williams switching to the other side of the field because she couldn't get past Fox, whoop, Fox just follows her there. Yeah. And then they get frustrated. That happened against OL Reign too with Rose Lavelle last season. We are completely taking away our ability to do that and just leaving one flank weaker when we play someone who can only play as a left back. And that also concerns me. I would really hope against Angel City, Neely Martin or someone else gets a start simply so we can have that, like, for no other reason. Let's say Rebecca Holloway has not ever played, simply so we can have that flexibility, because Kristen Press can move to either side, even though she's more of a left winger. Mm-hmm. And we can have, wherever their attacks are coming, you know, have Fox chase them. And so, yeah, again, that rigidity that we seem to be stuck in concerns me. But sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, that's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. And I mean, I feel the same way that you do. That was a team collapse against North Carolina, and it is unfair to put it on one single player, but it is also pro sports. You are out there, you know, to be judged on your performance. And I think that she would say that this last game wasn't her best, but I do want to speak to what you were saying about the rigidity. I grew up watching The Simpsons a ton. That's a lie. I've still watched The Simpsons a ton. There was an episode where Homer was teaching or trying to coach Bart for a mini golf tournament. And he says, all right, Bart, keep your head down and follow through. Bart does it and he missed it. And he goes, okay, forget that. Don't keep your head down and don't follow through. And I think that we need to avoid that sort of situation where it's like, all right, if, you know, playing out of the back isn't working. All right, let's completely forget all the work that we've done there, because we've seen moments where we played out of the back and it's looked great. But
now we need
our plan B. Now we need to figure out what adjustment we're going to make to those adjustments. And I think that, I mean, that is going to be crucial for the rest of the season.
Yeah, they don't seem to know how to adjust when their style isn't working. They just kind of seem like, oh no, what are we going to do? And then they just keep passing the ball backwards. Or there's that time when Gemma took like 5 minutes, it felt like, to take a corner, like a set piece kick, because like we couldn't figure out where people are going or what we were going to do. I mean, that's not good. Katie Lund seemed more rattled than she has been, and I don't think it's because she necessarily gave up the early goals. I think she just didn't really quite know what to do and felt rushed and ended up, like, kicking things poorly or making some poor decisions. I don't think none of the goals were Katie's fault, so I don't want to try and make she was giving anything up. But she did not distribute as well as she has in the past, because she seemed rattled and things seemed off, and she did not seem on the same page as all the rest of the players, because no one seemed on the same page as each other. And as much as we're saying Rebecca Holloway, I mean, we really should be saying Coach Kim, because the person who's making the decision to put these lineups out and to put people in these situations, it's Coach Kim. Yeah. And I don't want to make it seem like I'm getting at torches and pitchforks for Coach Kim now, because I think that he's been great in a lot of ways, but we now need to see next week if he is able to adapt and change and find something different tactically. And maybe, I think he has to look at a different lineup at this point. I think it would be insane to put out the same people in a few areas. I mean, even move people into different positions, like put Sav on the wing again or something like that. But he needs to show that he can adapt and that he can learn from these mistakes, because ultimately it's less of the failing of the players, in my opinion, and a failing of the coach and the system of the team.
Yeah, and you're right. And to his credit, I do not want to, speak to whether Addy or Aaron Simon should have gotten that start against North Carolina over Holloway. I do like the fact that even though Holloway had that foul, that she didn't get she didn't get benched immediately. I don't want my players playing scared. You don't want them to feel like if they've made a mistake that, that's it. So it'll be but at this
then
point,
Simon and Merrick end up not even on the bench. Yeah. So what did they do for that?
No,
I don't know.
That is an excellent point. And I think that we need to, this next game is very important. It is very important because 2 weeks ago, when we recorded a podcast, we were feeling top of the world. And today it feels as though Lynn Family Stadium is burning to the ground. You know what? 2 weeks ago, we weren't right. And we're not right now. We go out there and get a win against Angel City and things start feeling a lot better. And I think it's possible. I think that every team, a challenge that Racing will have is that we're going to get every team's best shot. In the same way that OL Reign gets everybody's best shot, we're going to get it, but for the exact opposite reason, because wins are paramount in this league. If you want to be a top six team, you need to get wins, and everybody's going to be looking at Racing and say, that's a chance for 3 points. That's one we're not going to sleep on because we need a win. And so we're going to be getting everybody's best punch from here on out. And I think we can adapt. I can't think about that team that we saw against Gotham and think that team is gone forever.
Or the team that, blew the lead to Houston and then came back and drew Chicago in a really, really tight game and then came back and then beat Kansas City right after that.
Yeah.
This team is resilient. They've proven they're resilient, but I don't know. They don't seem happy, and why would you be happy after losing two games? I'm not trying to say that there's anything deeper than that, but if players don't start at least feeling like they're on the same page and seem to be getting on the same page despite losses, come together as a unit, because we seem very fragmented right now, then that can lead to a toxic culture, that can lead to a toxic locker room. And I'm not saying we have that. I don't think we have that. But there needs to be a lot of work done right now and this week, not only on tactics and analysis, but also how the team relates to each other and talks to each other and work out some of these chemistry issues on the field. Because that is a big, like you said, especially if you're building out of the back and you're relying on all these connections and tight plays.
Yeah.
If the players aren't linked together, if they're not feeling like a unit, if they're not feeling like a team, then we might as well just roll over and let Kristen Press shoot penalties. That was dire. I might actually cut that out.
Yeah. I think you need to leave it in because, when you're a fan of a team, when you love a team, we all have those sad moments of this is horrible. One thing that you know, you mentioned against Houston. Houston, by the way, they're actually pretty good this year. They're playing really well. I mean, there's not an easy game in this league, and now we bring Angel City to town. Before I say put this in the rearview mirror, Becky, have we gotten it off? Have you gotten it off your chest?
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing that I want to say really quickly is, I mean, one thing that we can hope for is that Angel City played 2 days ago, or did they play yesterday? They played 2 days ago. They're playing on Tuesday, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday, and then they're playing us on Saturday. So they're going to be on a tight schedule. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to energize them or if it's going to make them rotate deep and not do as well. But, I mean, that is a factor that could contribute and hopefully give us a bit of a leg up if they end up resting a bunch of their starters. That's the only other thing I wanted to say about that game. But yes, I do feel like I've gotten most of it off my chest.
Well, and you still have an article to write to get
two
to write. So two, but who's counting?
Me, unfortunately, and my editor.
We need to put it behind us though. I mean, it is in this, there are red flags. There are things that are of concern, but those things can get fixed. Coach Kim.
Yeah, red flags can come down.
Red flags can come down. And let's hope that Coach Kim and the team captains and the leadership fix this stuff this week. I'm going to be optimistic that they can, because nothing cures a bad feeling like 3 points. And if
even 1 point, if we draw Angel City and get a point and just keep them, like, even if we just keep them off the board, if it ends up being a 0-0 draw, or if we go down and come back, I will take that as a win, to be perfectly honest. I think a draw is perfectly suitable in the circumstances that we're in.
I don't know that the circumstances, I am a little more optimistic than you are in that things, I don't think that, for better or worse, I don't think we're at rock bottom. I think that we suffered a horrible loss.
I do think that we're heading down though, yes, and we need to make sure that we're reversing and going up. And I don't expect us to shoot back up. I think a draw is more just kind of like stopping the slide and then building a foundation to go up.
I got you. No, that makes sense actually. And since you and I both know a lot about how to build a house, that's actually excellent information. So we've got Angel City coming up. I had joked with you before that if there was ever going to be a fist fight on Lynn Family Stadium pitch, we will see the two feistiest competitors we have ever seen playing for us, Savannah DeMello and Savannah McCaskill, going at each other. I don't think they'll get in a fight. I do think that it's going to be, I do think it's going to be really great to watch, and hopefully we end up with a good result.
No, nothing but love for Savannah McCaskill, nothing but love but for Jorian Balcombe, who we saw briefly last night too. I mean, it's painful, but it's, you know, just like Julia Ashley when she's come with Houston. I always will, you know, not support and root on. I don't want them to beat us, I support, but I don't want them to win against us. Absolutely. All these players, and it'll be good to see McCaskill again. And the midfield matchup with Jay and Savannah versus Savannah McCaskill will be definitely interesting to see.
It'd be very interesting, but we could, you know, we could guess, we could think about it, but Becky, we both know that the most efficient way to figure out what's going to happen in that game next week is to look to the stars.
Actually, Tom, I don't know how well the stars have been treating us, because while we were really excited about the one saying, like, you're on a rise. Okay, we were for a little bit, and then that certainly changed. And then the Scorpio one with Kansas City last week basically said that we were going to fall in love and really compatible. Yep. And
that didn't happen either.
I don't think we were. I don't think there's any.
Not only were we not compatible, but we had a goal fall on our goalie.
But then again, we did not. No goals were scored in the run of play. So maybe we were a little too evenly balanced. I don't know. I don't know how to say it. But we're now looking at a game with Angel City. And Angel City, which was announced on July 21st, is actually a cancer just like racing.
Okay.
So God only knows what this will mean when we have the same horoscope. But the horoscope that we have is, there's a lot going on in your life right now, Cancer, but you need to pace yourself. Yeah, that's definitely true. And as we come down from the seismic change of May's eclipse season, you might need to take a hard nap, if not a hard reset. And you've got a planetary permission to indulge in both. So, I do think that we need a hard reset, to be perfectly blunt. And we probably need a hard nap to kind of get this out of our systems and rest
yes.
and recoup and get on.
Absolutely.
Angel City also has not had the best results in their last two games. So, you know, you could arguably say the same things about them. I don't know how they'll do this next week. I can't even remember who they're playing. But they did lose 3-0 to Portland, which, I mean, isn't that surprising? Portland is coming back into their own and playing more like the Portland we know. But yeah, we will see. These are two teams that I do think could use a reset. I think Racing definitely a lot more than Angel City after these last two games. Mm-hmm. But let's hope we listen to the stars.
Yes, at least for like the first. Like let's not give up that first 5 minute goal. I mean, is it bad strategy to just like, you know how at the end of the game, if you're winning, you just put the ball in the corner and run out the clock? Could we just
that's not bad strategy.
Let's just do that for
that
like
against San Diego, and it won the game for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, so but maybe we'll do that for like the first 10 minutes.
But we would need to actually hold on to possession for the first 10 minutes. I mean,
Becky, we're getting positive. We're not. we're not going backwards. We're going.
We're done. Okay.
Yeah, we're taking a hard reset. So we have our statue that we are continuing to construct. We have Lauren Millay riding Katie Lund as a jockey. We have polished it up. Becky, I know that we had originally thought that this week that we would give that statue a pride flag, but I wonder if maybe we hold on that pride flag a week. Maybe we hold it on to our next one. And this week, let's just polish it. Let's get that statue clean. I feel as though it's dirty. It's dusty. It's taken some lumps. Maybe it's taken some dents. Let's show that statue a little bit of love. Let's polish it off so that once those fans that come into Lynn Family Stadium for Ali night against Angel City, they see a beautiful statue, no dents, no problems. And they see a team that is ready to go.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. I don't think that anything should be added at this point, because I think we need to focus with what we have mm-hmm. and work with it. And as you said, clean it up, get our house in order, get our statue in the best shape possible. And hopefully we won't find any cracks. And it's just some, you know, scuff marks we need to clean off and some superficial damage that we can work through. And keep moving forward.
Excellent. Well, when I was growing up in Oklahoma, there was a very common bumper sticker that I saw that I think they came standard on all used Nissan trucks. And fun fact, 40% of all vehicles in the state of Oklahoma are used Nissan trucks. There was a bumper sticker that said, "My worst day fishing is better than my best day working. And today is a bad day, but my worst day as a racing fan is better than my best day without having this team to follow and love and to enjoy every week." So hopefully for the racing fans that are listening to this, if you're in your car, scream, release that anger out into the universe and get excited for our upcoming game against Angel City. Hopefully it's a win. Regardless, it'll be fun. And if not, we will be back to cry, because I haven't ugly cried yet. So I still have that one chambered. Any last thoughts,
hopefully,
Becky?
Hopefully that is a weapon we do not need to really use. let's hope that stays chambered.
Yes.
I agree. We do this because we love the club and we love the team, and because yep. we want the best yep. for them, and also because we expect the best from mm-hmm. them, because we do support them. And so, you know, when we criticize, it is because we care so much. You know, yep. we're not yep. just going to sit here and be like, oh, that could have been better, because we really do actually care.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, yeah, that perspective that, you know, we love our fellow fans that we've gotten to be friends with. Yeah. We love the players and we want nothing but the best for all the players first before anything else. And that we want this to be a team that succeeds because we want that for our players. You know, that's where all this is coming from. So you're right. I'm still joyful to have racing in my life. And I hope everybody else feels the same way too.
Well, Becky, I don't know if this was fun, but it was something.
It was cathartic.
It was cathartic. And I think we should do it again.
I think we should too. Maybe I'll say something different after the next 2 weeks. No. Just kidding. No, no. I'm in this for the long run, whether you like it or not, Tom.
Excellent. It will be fun.
Sounds good.